welcome those who are joining us today. Thank you so much for joining us and being with us. And we're on a series that I thought we were about finished till I got to doing a little studying. And, you know, this may go on a little while. And I know this doesn't sound like Christmas, but it'll be Christmas this year. Okay, because this series, I don't want to stop it. It's so much for me, and it's done so much for me. It's so much a part of my life, and I'm excited about sharing it with you. And so thank you for joining us, and let's get in on this. I got to tell you this little story, and the folk that have heard this before, you say, I know what he's going to say. Well, just listen again. And those of you that haven't heard, maybe you'll get something out of this too, but the beautiful blonde and I, one of our sons, son Chris, played for Texas, and they were playing Wyoming. And so on the game trip to Wyoming, we took a couple of days, and we just traveled up there and stopped in Colorado. You know, it's just a beautiful part of the country. And we went to one of the national parks, Estes Park. And, man, it's just beautiful. We're seeing the animals and, man, just getting up close to them. The beautiful blonde was taking pictures of everything but me. It was great. And, you know, so it was fantastic. But I noticed this sign. And this sign said, if you get attacked by a bear or a cougar, fight back. Well, I thought it was a joke. I pointed it out to the blonde. Is there, you know, somebody trying to be funny? We were at another place in the park, and same sign. If you get attacked by a bear or a mountain lion, a cougar, fight back. I told the blonde, hey, I don't need no sign. Let me tell you something. And most of you know me pretty well. God bless you. But if I get attacked, I might not win, but I'm coming out with fur in my teeth. There's going to be some kind of trophy in my hand, even if I'm going down. You're not telling me to fight back. But I want to tell you, that message is for people that don't understand that when you're being attacked, you're in a battle for your life. I'm having to tell Christians, this is why we're doing this series, is that, you know what, you're living on a battlefield. And you know what, you have to fight back. Because there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy you. And so it's very, very important that we learn what Jesus said, what the Word says about winning. Because He paid the price for you to win. And not only that, He gave you the weapons to fight back. We need to know what they are and how to fight back. Now, it's very, very important in this series. You got to understand. And if you haven't caught up, go back and catch up. Prayerfully, it'll be worth it to you. But what I'm saying to you is that there are weapons of our warfare, and He's designed us to win, not to lose. And one of the worst things a Christian can do would just be accept what the enemy's dishing out and not fight back. The Bible says, submit to God, and you resist the enemy, and you'll win. Now, you might have to keep resisting for a while. It might be a season. He doesn't always run at the first resist. But according to the Bible, and the Bible's true, and your experience is a lie, if you're saying that didn't work for me. Well, I want to tell you, keep submitting to God. Keep resisting the enemy, and he will flee. That's Bible, and Bible is true. And so we need to apply the Bible. We need to understand that Jesus paid the price on the cross for your victory. That's what the blood of Jesus is all about. Forgives you of all of your sins and places you in the position of forgiveness, that you receive the gift of righteousness because of His forgiveness. Not because of your report card, but because of His, we receive the gift of righteousness. And because of that position, He has paid the price for us to receive all of His promises to be true in our life. Now, the Bible tells us where the battle starts. I know there's different teachers, they don't really agree with me on this. That's okay, it don't hurt my feelings. What it is, though, they want to talk about different things in spiritual warfare that the Bible don't really line up. I want to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that the battle is between your eras. It's in your mind. That's where the enemy wants to attack. And if you and you can win that battle, there's nothing you can't overcome. There's no giant you can't defeat. There's no mountain you can't climb because he's won the victory for you. Are you ready for this? Well, okay, this is part six. This is in Psalm 144, and it says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock." He's my rock. He's my firm strength. Do you see that? He's my firm strength. Anytime that you see the word strength in the Bible, it's a parallel word. And I'm just going to give you this. It's a parallel word for health. And so you try to look up health in the Bible, you don't see a whole lot. But you see a lot on strength, his strength. And his strength is your health. And so that's very, very powerful for you to hold on to, believe God for. Who teaches, this is your God. He's your rock. He's your firm strength. That's where your strength comes from. And he teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You say, what? What and what? I want to put it to you like this. You bless the Lord. You let the Lord be your foundation. And he will teach you how to fight your battles. I want to tell you, he'll teach you how to fight your battles. See, he's giving you a personal coach, Holy Spirit. And you may have a different arena to fight in than other people. That's why it's important for you not to throw Bibles at other people that are fighting things you're not fighting. We need a little compassion for one another. And if you're one of those that say, well, they're just not prospering if they're fighting. Well, I want to tell you, you just hold on a little while. Because I want to tell you, we're on a battlefield. And just because you're battling doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. It very well may be because you've done something right. And so I'm telling you, we battle. All right, we don't throw Bibles at each other because of battle. All right, we're here for reigning training. But what I'm telling you is the good news. You're not here on your own to battle on your own out of your own strength. It's through God's strength. He's going to be your foundation. He's going to be your solid. And I want to tell you something out. He, through the Holy Spirit, will personally apply his word, his principles, to teach you how to fight your battles and win. Because his goal, his desire, his will is for you to win. And if you don't quit and you pursue the Lord, you're going to win. My steadfast love. Look at this. This is part of the foundation right here. My steadfast love and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer. Do you know the Lord like that? I want to tell you, this is why we got to get to know him better. And to know him in his word and his personal journey and applying to our life. Because it causes us to depend on him. It causes us to trust in him. He causes us to know him as our personal victory. It's fantastic. You'll hear a lot about victory next week in our testimony service. You'll hear a lot of victories. But I'll tell you what you need to hear. You need to hear the Holy Spirit say to you personally with your name on it. He paid the price for your victory too. Your victory in your arena with what you're battling right now. And he does that. He's my deliverer. He's my shield. He is in whom I trust and take refuge, who subdues people under me. That's our God. Now I want to tell you, when you begin to know him like this, and you begin to celebrate him like this, and apply who he is to your life, because I want to tell you, that's where it boils down to, is who he is, he wants to be in you. That's what's so exciting. And only the Holy Spirit can show you that. It's called revelation. But I'll tell you, it's for you. He wants you to know him as your personal shield. And he wants you to trust in him and take refuge in him. And I want to tell you, the promises are so beautiful. It's not just for you, it's for others. I want you to see verse 12 real quick. When our sons, see, this is the benefit. Our sons shall be as plants grown large in their youth. And I want to tell you, that's beautiful. You know what that's saying to me? It says this: He will cause our kids to become great and successful even in their youth. They won't have to wait a lifetime to attain. He will cause them in their youth to be strong like plants grown large in their youth. He'll cause them to become great in their youth. That's blessing. I want to tell you, we battle. Now, I want to tell you, you battle for your own personal victory, but I want you to understand something, that when we fight and battle and win for ourselves, we're also winning for those who come after us. There's a momentum of victory, a heritage of victory that we pass on. Look at the daughters. The daughters are sculptured corner pillars, hewn like those of a palace. Now, I want to tell you, I never really knew about raising girls because I raised boys. But because of beautiful Miss Eden, I got a daughter. And I want to tell you, daughters that love the Lord, boy, I'm telling you, I can't hand out enough wallets. I just want to just bless them. And she's very precious, her daughter is. But I want to tell you something. I never knew. Because I raised boys, and I raised them to be champions and to be men and to be warriors and to be winners. But I want to tell you something. I never knew about what to do with daughters because I didn't have. But let me tell you something. Since I got daughters-in-laws, I want to tell you, daughters need to be strong too. If you're babying your daughters, I'm going to tell you, you're not doing them right. It's all right to enjoy them at every age, at every stage. But I want to tell you, you need to train your daughters to be warriors too. You need to train your daughters to be tough. You need to train your daughters to overcome and to be victors. But this is what the Lord wants. This is His word. This is His will. This is His promise. If you battle and win, He's going to cause them. I'm telling you, you're blazing the trail. And He's going to cause them to be like sculptured. I'm telling you, that's beautiful. I want to tell you what it's saying. They'll be strong and beautiful. They will be a mighty support, like a pillar in a palace. Is that a great picture? Well, that's the Lord's desire. Praise ye the Lord. Hey, you need to celebrate Him. You're my rock. You're my strength. You're my protector. You teach me how to fight my battles. And I want to tell you, that's the Lord. And when you exalt Him and glorify Him and praise Him, the Holy Spirit is causing this truth to become revelation and to become reality in you. You don't have to make it happen. You exalt Him. You praise Him. You focus on Him. And the Holy Spirit does the work. He makes it happen. Does that make you want to take a deep breath and go, whew? Well, that's what He's got in mind. And He uses the word. The word is a weapon. He's given us weapons. And so I'm telling you, the word is a weapon too. John 6:33, for the bread of God is He who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Now I want to tell you, the bread of God is Jesus. I want to tell you, He is the Word. John makes that clear. He is the Word. And the Word is Jesus. And I want to tell you, the Word is a weapon of our warfare. And He's given us the bread of life. And I want to tell you, life is greater than death. I want to tell you, when the leper came up to Jesus and there was interaction there, you know, there was social distancing in order. I want to tell you, that didn't count with Jesus. Because I want to tell you, His life was greater than leprosy. And I want to tell you, leprosy ran and submitted and quit in the presence of life. And Jesus did. He broke the social order. He touched him. He laid hands on him. And He blessed him. And He cursed the leprosy. And He blessed him with healing. And life is greater than sickness. Life is greater than death. Light is greater than darkness. Can somebody say amen? And so I want to tell you, His word, John 6:63, says that His words are life to us. I want to tell you, we have to have a flow of fresh bread of life in us. And He is there to make it so. One of the greatest things you can do against the darkness and the death that's trying to press in is to walk in life. Because light chases away darkness. Life repels death. And so I want to tell you, walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the sadness of the flesh. Because he overcomes. He's an overcomer. This is part of your weapon, is the Word of God. He's also giving you the Spirit. The Spirit dwells in you. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You may not have ever seen that the fruit of the Spirit is a weapon. But I want to tell you, when you're practice being, you're not doing what you shouldn't do when you're practice being. Now, I want to tell you, that's a real simple thing, but it makes a tremendous difference. Okay? Hey, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work that which His presence within us accomplishes, okay, it's real in you, it's full measure in you, but fruit comes out. And this is what Jesus looks like inside of you coming out. This is what Jesus looks like. Love. Joy. Is this only when things are going well? No, it's not like the world joy. Okay, when there's time to celebrate, this is joy. This is gladness. Even in the midst of sadness, He can give you joy. Is that how real Jesus is? Well, I want to tell you, real joy is in you because real Spirit is in you. How about peace? Boy, thank God for peace. You know, He can give you peace in the midst of storms all around you. When you're being attacked on two or three sides, you ever experienced that? Yeah, I do too. Well, I want to tell you, He can give peace even in the midst of that. Why? Because He dwells in you. It's not something you have to beg God for. It's already here if you know Jesus. You know what we can do is receive it. Fruit. The trees don't grunt to produce fruit. Fruit is an expression of life. And I want to tell you, when we practice being, the fruit of the Spirit manifests. We don't grunt or work the flesh to make it happen. All right? His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness. Wow, it's so amazing, His faithfulness. His gentleness, self-control. When you hear a believer say, well, I just can't help it. Well, the Holy Spirit's in you. Hey, full measure of Jesus is in you. And I want to tell you what He can do, okay? He can help you say no to what you need to say no to. But the best way to say no to what you need to say no to is say yes to Him. When you're practicing Him, saying yes, you're already saying no to the flesh. Because this is walking in the Spirit. You know what walking, anytime you see the word walk in Scripture, or you see the word live and walk are the same word. You walk in the Spirit, you live in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit. It's the flow of life. Against such things, there is no law. Nothing that can be charged against it. And so, just think about this now. The weapon again of warfare that's in you is the very Spirit of Christ. This is the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Do you understand that the very resurrection power of Jesus dwells in you? I'm here to tell you, if we meditate on and capture that the cross was a victory and not a defeat. A lot of Christians believe it was a defeat. I can say that because that's the way we live. If we really believe that the cross is a victory, then I want to tell you we would walk in greater levels of victory. I'm here to tell you something. The very resurrection power of Jesus dwells inside of us. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says that the kingdom life in us, Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit in us, that power in us is greater than he that's in the world. And so we don't have to walk around like a little puppy with a tail between the legs. We don't have to walk around scared. I want to tell you, we can walk bold in Him. We can walk in peace. We can walk in love. We can walk in joy. And when a shadow of the enemy shows up, we can deal with it with the authority. The weapon of our warfare is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in us. He is a defeated foe. And what we're doing is reinforcing what Jesus has already done. All right, man, I tell you, I could stay there a while. I got to preach on. So the deal is we're not walking in all of it. So let's practice receiving. In order to receive it, we got to believe it. It's by grace through faith. We apply it over and over again in Scripture. I don't have time to turn to those. I did that this morning in the huddle, but we don't have time to turn to it. But I've described it to you before in this series that to put on means to wardrobe change. My little granddaughters are famous for it. Every few minutes, there's a wardrobe change. And I want to tell you what the Bible says is that, look, when you recognize that there's flesh operating, when you recognize that you are not in peace where you need to be, or walking in love where you need to be, put on the new man, the new creation. In other words, you go have a wardrobe change and say, that's not the real me. That's old clothes. I'm walking in the newness of life. And by grace through faith, not waiting on my feelings, but by grace through faith, I'm going to believe what Jesus said, that his love is in me to even love the unlovable. His joy, his peace. How about his gentleness? Do we have to be rough and gruff? I'm telling you, hey, if you say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, I want to tell you, that's not Jesus in you. That's not the real you. That's the old you. You're probably copying somebody in your history. But I want to tell you something. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It means that when you have to say no, you can say no with a smile. And when you know your authority in Christ, you don't have to scream. You can whisper. See, the authority is not in the volume. It's knowing who you are in Christ. Wow. Put on joy. Peace, love, praise, and thanksgiving is a weapon. And we've done three series on that alone. Praise and thanksgiving is a weapon. Jesus said so. We walk in the Spirit. We overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil. I want to tell you what the Spirit does. It's anti-self. And I want to tell you, self is a source of a lot of grief and sorrow. Let's be honest. Sin points to self. Okay? That's self-centeredness. But I want to tell you something. When we're walking in the Spirit, the flesh doesn't have the same voice to us that it has when we're walking in the flesh. That voice is loud. That's a strong pull. When you're walking in the Spirit, the flesh is still there and still operating, but it's a weak voice. Do you understand that? Okay, same with the world and the devil. One of the greatest weapons the Lord's given us is love. It's love. You say, well, that seems weak. No, meekness is not weakness. I want to tell you, when you're walking in the love of Jesus, I want to tell you what happens. You operate by faith, not by feeling. You operate not because of someone else's report card. You operate by what Jesus has done for you. And you openly and lovingly forgive, and you love them. You say, well, they're going to take advantage of me. No, no, no. This is what happens. When you walk in love, the Lord says, it's now my battle and not yours. You know what he says? You walk in love? Hey, he says, I will take care of your enemies. I will cause people to be subdued. I will cause these lies, and it's in Psalm 144. You can go back and read it. I will cause the lies of what's being told to be silenced. God says, I'll do it. I'll make your battles cease. I'll stop your wars. Now, you can't do that. No other man can do that. But I want to tell you, God can. Oh, I love him. Don't anybody here love the Lord? Okay, well, let's continue on. I'm in the right place. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Are y'all ready for some more? But the weapons of our warfare are not physical. They're not weapons that we know of in the flesh and blood. But they're mighty. I want to tell you about mighty weapons. They're successful. Mighty weapons are winning weapons. Mighty weapons overcome. Mighty weapons of God are more than enough for anything and everything you face. That's how big and how powerful they are. They're mighty before God. You know why? Because they're supernatural. They're not natural. As I already told us, they're not natural. They're supernatural. Hey, I want to tell you, you as a believer, you're not to operate the way the world operates. I'm telling you, the Bible says don't operate the way the Gentiles, don't live like they live. Now, when it's talking about Gentiles, it's not talking about Texans. It's talking about those that don't know God. Don't live like them. Well, I want to tell you something. If you think like them, you're going to live like them. If you live like them, you're going to have the same results that lost people have. And that's one of the biggest questions in churches. Why doesn't God do something for me? Well, he already has. But I want to tell you what he wants you to know. He wants you to know how to be an overcomer and a victor, a more than conqueror in this life. And he's given us the Holy Spirit as a personal coach. And he's given us his word as a manual to make it happen, a manual of victory for you. And he's given us his weapons of warfare to make it successful. Oh, my, my, my. They're mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. Anybody in prison, anybody in jail, anybody in a pit. Well, our weapons are not material. They're mighty. So where are the strongholds at? Are they way up in the air somewhere? Are they out in the desert somewhere? Is people doing different teachings on that? No, no, no. Let's go back to the Bible. Let's let the Bible define the Bible. Wouldn't that be interesting? The Bible says it's in the imaginations of our minds. That's the way King James puts it, imagination, 2 Corinthians 10:5. It's in the imaginations. It's right here in the mind. The battlefield's in the mind. Okay, and as much as we refute arguments, the King James says imaginations, and theories and reasonings, where are those? Those are in the mind. And every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up in the mind against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive. The Holy Spirit is our witness. You say, well, I don't know what's true or what's not. I don't know the Bible very well. This is why we in the Word. Okay, but I want to tell you something. He's given you the Holy Spirit. One of the promises of the Holy Spirit in the Word for you is that he will show you what's true and a lie. You may not even have the knowledge, the head knowledge of a situation, but I want to tell you the Holy Spirit will witness to you green light, yellow light, red light. He'll tell you. Hey, listen, it happens all the time. You think back on your own life, there's been times where the Holy Spirit give you a yellow light. You say, whoa, whoa, wait, wait, wait. Let's put tap the brakes here a little bit. Brake check. All right, and sometimes he give you a red light, which means turn you around and get out of there. And he'll do that. Okay, even about things you don't know of in your mind, he'll witness through his spirit, your spirit in you, into your soul, and even into your body, he'll give you a witness. But I want to tell you that everything that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. Why? Because the enemy operates by lies. That's the way he operates. And we lead every thought. Here we are. Here we are. We lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. Now, boy, I want to tell you what. I took this and applied my background in athletics, and I was determined that I was going to win the battle of my mind. And I want to tell you, you were looking at, back then, you were looking at a defeated, wore out, okay, tired, wore out, whooped up believer trying his best to make his mind obey. That's not what it says. I can't help it. I got to tell you now. It's kind of like presents. I can't wait for people to open them. I got to tell you, it's not your obedience. Would you look at what the Bible says? It says, under the obedience of Christ. That made a difference in Tim's life. This is why I'm preaching this to you, this series. Because if the Lord can help me have victory in my mind, he can help you have victory in your mind. He's given us all kind of weapons. He's already paid for it. It's his will. It's his word. It's his way for you. Not just for every believer. And I want to tell you something. It's not your obedience. You can't use your backbone, and your human strength to win the battle of your mind. You're going to be like a termite in a yo-yo. You won't know which way's up. The enemy's been practicing a whole lot longer than you have. He's going to win on that. And you'll be in the shame blame game before it's all over with. Or you'll be a pretender, pretending that you're winning when you're not. A lot of that in Christianity. But I'm telling you, this is one of the keys that will set you free. Is that when we bring those thoughts, not into our obedience, we don't wrestle them into behavior, but I want to tell you, we bring them to the obedience of Christ, because it's by his obedience that we have victory. Not your obedience, his obedience. Well, okay. You catch it, you'll get excited. The enemy plays mind games. Let me just explain it a little bit. Satan will tell you a lie. For example, you'll do a particular sin. It may be a little one or a big one. It don't matter. He kind of operates the same way. And he'll tell you a lie. You know you're not forgiven. You know God's mad at you. The Lord doesn't love you because you're a mess and you messed up. This is going to sound kind of familiar to people. He's mad at you. He's given up on you. He don't want you. He's tired of forgiving you over and over again. The devil, it should be illegal, but this is the way he operates. He uses personal pronouns, and he'll use your own mind voice. Do you know what I mean by that? He'll use your own thought voice. Now, hey, look, I want to tell you, when the Lord talks to me, it's with a pretty deep East Texas accent. But I'm going to announce something to you. When the enemy talks to me, it's with an East Texas accent. It'll sound like your own voice. And see, this is a part of the lie. He sends a fiery dart trying to make you think it's really you. Let me announce something to you. The liar is lying. It's not you. It's him. If we could get the recognition down, we would be a long ways on the place to victory. The devil uses those personal pronouns, and he uses your own voice in your mind saying, I'm a failure. How about this? You know, I just hate that person. You ever get something like that? I don't guess I'm preaching at the right place. I hate that person. Or how about this one? You know, those people don't really like me. They don't really like me. Those people are against me. I can't tell you. You know, this happens with pastors. I use pastors. I love pastors. Well, I had six of them in my home this week, three of them from different nations in Africa, and two more starting churches here in Texas. And I want to tell you, what an honor to spend 3 hours and just pouring. I want to see, you minister to those people, because that's part of what we do. But I want to tell you something. This happens to pastors. I had one pastor meeting. And this has happened a couple of different times, so I'm not picking on anybody if you're listening. But it goes like this. It's the same testimony, because the enemy operates with the same schemes. But here we are in a pastor meeting, and I notice one pastor, his countenance gets kind of sad and gets kind of down, and he's whispering to his wife, and the next thing you know, they walk out of the meeting, and they're standing outside, and they're doing this talking. And I just discerned, you know, the enemy's trying to rob them of something. And so I step outside and I said, hey, team, what's going on? Well, they're talking about me. I said, who? You know, the guys in there. They're talking bad about me. And I saw your face when they were talking and you were laughing. So they're laughing at me and they're talking bad about me. I said, let me tell you something. What that is, that's the enemy. And that is suspicion. And let me tell you what suspicion is. Are you listening to me? Let me tell you what suspicion is. It's not loving the brothers. It's not believing the best. Love believes the best. If you were loving them with the love of Jesus, then you would believe the best about them, not the worst. You wouldn't keep a record of what you thought was wrong. And I assured him, I said, look, the enemy's stealing your peace and your joy and the love life and the revelation coming from this meeting. And I said, that's your choice. I said, but let me assure you about something. Anything said about you in this meeting has been positive, and it's been honoring and glorifying God and thanking God for you. So you have a choice whether you're going to come and receive revelation and love life, or you can leave and lose. And you say, well, how dare a pastor be something like, when's the last time you allowed the enemy to steal your peace? When's the last time you allowed the enemy to steal your love life? When's the last time you allowed the enemy to steal your joy? I want to tell you, hey, it's pretty common, because that's the way the enemy operates. But the Lord has given us weapons to overcome that, to pull down those strongholds. This particular pastor had a stronghold of suspicion, and I know why. Because the leaders of the pack get arrows in the back. You know. Oh, maybe you don't know. I'll just tell you that's true. Every pastor got scars in the back. But I want to tell you, those that receive the love life of the Lord, the healing restoration of the Lord, walk in the forgiveness of the Lord, I want to tell you, even those kind of attacks, you can make yourself vulnerable just like Jesus did. He brought himself to being vulnerable so he could reach many. You understand that? Was that too much? Well, I want to tell you, when you're walking in love and forgiveness, even if things are being said about you, it can leave you in a situation where that you humble yourself before God and depend on him, and he makes it his battle, not yours. It's not your job to straighten them out. You trust the Lord and let him do it. And guess what happens? The Lord has a way of turning it around. My beautiful wife and I get to see that happen over and over again. Just in the last few months, one of the guys that was closest to me in ministry, matter of fact, when we were speaking in conferences, they would put us in the same room. That means they know you like each other. Okay, we loved each other. And you know what? A certain event took place in my life, and he turned against me and spoke against me and wrote me off erased my name off his chalkboard. But I want to tell you something. It's real, real important that we don't burn the bridge on our side, that you practice walking in love and forgiveness. Now, I'm saying that to you because, and this was a decade later, just in the last few months, he contacted me. He's in a crisis, and he needs ministry. And I'm free to love on him with the love of Jesus. Hey, look. Hey, I'm talking to you like Peter. Don't look at me like it's me. It's the love of Jesus. But the love of Jesus will set you free to love the unlovely, even when they're being rude and crude. But he will erase that stronghold of suspicion. That thought, that stronghold, that reasoning in the mind that's robbing you of the victory of the Lord. He will use your personal language to accuse you. Now get this now. This is how unfair he fights. You know he fights unfair. He will use your own personal language to accuse you, and then he'll back up and accuse you of thinking that. Yeah, that's what he does. He accuses you of the very thoughts he sent you, and he'll talk like that. Now, how can you think like that? Oh, you call yourself a believer. You call yourself a Jesus person, and here you are thinking those kind of thoughts. You can't be a believer and think that. You see what he does? Those are not your thoughts. Those are fiery darts. You got to recognize them and resist them. You got to tell them to take a hike. Listen, recognition is in discernment in the discernment in the battle. It's not friendly fire. It's not you. Those are not your thoughts. Those are fiery darts from the enemy. Recognize them and resist them. So be subject to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so don't go to the blame shame game. You know, he wants you to get there. If you go there, he wins. Well, what do we do? Well, I want to tell you, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you, if condemnation is coming at you, it's not from God. The Holy Spirit will convict you, but he points you to the blood. He points you to his love. He points you to forgiveness. That's good. He loves you. He'll do that. But I want to tell you, the condemnation mess, you sorry, you're no good, you're worthless, God tired of you, that's condemnation, that's from the enemy, and it's a lie. And so you can't go to the shame blame game. He wins. What do? We hold up the shield of faith. All right? I know those thoughts are coming, and I know I messed up. That's not the question. The question is was Jesus enough? It's not whether you messed up. It's whether Jesus was enough. Did Jesus pay enough for your sins, past, present, and future? Are you standing here and telling heaven, well, I messed up my Cheerios and Jesus needs to come back and die on the cross again? Well, let me ask a question. Is Jesus enough? Did he do enough? Do we need to add works to it in order to make God happy? No. The Bible says that Jesus satisfied all the wrath of God. So God's not mad at you. And I'm going to say this, and there'll be people that don't like it. Even when you blow it, God's not mad. Jesus paid the price for Father to be glad. If Ephesians 6:16. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Well, that must be a misprint. It must be some of them. Well, wait a minute. What if we really did something? It don't mean those two, does it? This is what the Bible says. Rise up, lift up your shield of saving faith, and you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Is the Word of God important? Let me get a little practical here. Because I deal with real people. Okay? You know, you can have a vulgar thought even in worship. I've dealt with people who've had too many of them. I've had some mad thoughts myself during worship. Stuff like, where are them people at? When I need to be honoring and glorifying the Lord, I'm thinking, why aren't they here? Now, what, just what? Huh? Come on. You see how the enemy would like to distract? Because I want to tell you, when he distracts you, he takes your focus off of him. Now, I don't know if you've seen this yet or not. This is kind of new to me in just the last few months. But in Hebrews 12:1-2, very familiar. But verse 3 says this, that you know what? If you get distracted from focusing on Jesus, if you get distracted from Jesus and off on some other thing, then I want to tell you, you will become weak. You'll faint. You'll faint. You'll become weak. We got Christians everywhere saying, oh, I just can't. Well, why? Because they got to focus off Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And so that's why it's really important for us to keep our focus on the Lord. But even during worship, you can have thoughts hit you from the dark side. Well, what do you do when that happens? Well, you resist and you focus on the Lord. All right? I've had too many people, and they come to my house, and they say, no, it's the real me because it's my thoughts. No, it's not your thoughts. Okay? That's a lie. They got to be resisted. While I'm preaching, let me just get real practical here. While I'm preaching, you can have negative thoughts about me. Can you imagine? Yes, you can. Let me get real personal. That's the enemy. Please resist that. Come on. Keep resisting it until that leaves. Hey, believe God. Hey, he loves me. You love me. So resist it. You may not like some things about me, but that's not what it is. You still got to love me. And so I'm trying to make you smile, but try to get a point across. You got to resist. Listen, you have to look past my humanness and see Jesus, right? I appreciate that, but let me just remind you of something. I get to look past your humanness and see Jesus. So let's all rejoice. That's what love does. Love believes the best. Somebody walk in love today. If you receive and embrace the thoughts of the enemy, he got you. You see, there's a difference between embracing them and renouncing them. Okay? At the very least, he distracts you from receiving the words of life in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because I want to tell you, it's possible to come to church and not connect with Jesus. Those that connect with Jesus receive spirit and life. That's what his word, Bible says his word is spirit and life. Those that come and got a battle going on here that's not about, and I want to tell you, you can leave and completely miss. You know what repent means? It means to change channels. It means to change your mind. Change direction. Change channels. Repent doesn't even always mean sin. Definitely applies. But it can mean choosing God's best for your life versus what's acceptable. Man, I might ought to say that again. Repent doesn't always mean sin. It can mean choosing God's best for your life versus what's acceptable. Okay, let me just get King James on you. King James says that God repented. Did he sin? No, he didn't sin. You know what he did? He changed his mind. He was going to create some crispy critters, okay? And he changed his mind to honor his loving kindness. His grace and his mercy. Aren't you glad? Does that mean that God was a sinner? No. He changed his mind. He's God. He can change his mind. You can write down, it's probably in your notes, Psalm 106, 45, Exodus 32, 14, couple examples. But I'm getting to this because I don't have a lot of time. You got to catch this. Every time you hear the word of God, the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit is to change your thinking. Getting you to see Jesus and embrace, say yes, embrace his will, his words, and his ways for you. Because when he can get you to agreeing with the Lord in your mind, the power of the word in your mind goes down into your heart. And out of your heart, I want to tell you, is right believing. Right thinking, right believing, which brings right actions. Right attitudes and right actions. Which brings godly results. Okay, the weapons God wants to use against strongholds, against thoughts, are mighty. We got to remember they're mighty. You may have experienced defeat over and over. I want to tell you, you believe God. Give your allegiance to the Lord. The Lord said they're mighty for victory. They're for success, to pull them down, to dismantle wrong thought patterns. It's of Christ, not of you. And so I want to read this one more time, and we'll just have to stop here. Inasmuch as we refute means to renounce, it means to deny, it means to prove wrong, it means to say no to arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. I was in another city having breakfast. There was a young man there that came to talk to me, and he was wanting to disprove the Bible without talking about the Bible. And so what he talked about was UFOs, Bigfoot, all the mysterious things that's taking place on the earth in places that no one can explain. And I want to tell you, those are reasonings. Those are lofty things that are anti-God. And so I said, I got one sentence to satisfy this whole conversation that you just said. He says, say it. I said, people that go after this are hoping to prove in their mind that God's not real so they don't have to answer for their sin. He said, well, I've about had enough breakfast. And I want to tell you, that's not uncommon. To refute, to renounce, deny, prove wrong, say no to those arguments and theories and reasonings, every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. You say, well, I don't know it all. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will give you a witness, truth or lie. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. The Holy Spirit helps. You're not on your own. I'm telling you, we have helped. Sex addicts, that's one of the strongest addictions I've ever seen. We've helped sex addicts get free. And the way we helped them get free was by this little clue right here. Is that, you know what, you're not able to wrestle that addiction on your own, in your own mind. But what I'm going to show you to do is to picture Christ on the cross. You see, and I'll cover this next week, but Christ was very obedient in this life. But I'm here to tell you something. Listen to me. It's the obedience of Christ on the cross that sets us free. Okay? Well, I'm going to cover some things next week. It'll be so exciting. But I'm just telling you this. I taught them that when you are tempted and that begins to rise up in you, you change channels and put your mind on Christ on the cross. And you picture Jesus dying for you. You picture Jesus shedding blood for you. You picture Jesus being tortured for you. You picture, okay, that blood being shed, and you see the arrow of your addiction piercing into himself. And he took it, your sin, your addiction, for your freedom. And when you focus on the cross, the Holy Spirit is doing a deliverance work in you. Is it progressive? Sure it is. Is it immediate? Sure it is. Is it continual? Sure it is. But we got to get on the channel. But when you put your mind on Jesus, the Holy Spirit is free to do supernatural work in you. See, to a lot of counselors, this don't make sense because it's too simple. Well, I want to tell you, it may be simple, but it's supernatural. It's something God does. Man can't do that. Man will try to teach you tricks to, disorient and try to distract you from that passion that's raised up. But I want to tell you, Jesus transforms us from the inside out. He doesn't bring behavior modification. He brings transformation. And I want to tell you, this is God's way, the obedience of Christ. So this week, when you look at Lily and you say, well, look how skinny she is. Look at her up there. She's dancing to show off that how skinny she is. Look at her weight loss. She thinks she's something. No, wait. You got to recognize that's not from God. That's not love. That's from the enemy. And you say, whoa, wait. Jesus loves Lily. I love Lily. Jesus is successful in Lily. I celebrate success in the Lord. And I renounce that in the name of Jesus. And I love Lily. And I'm going to go brag on her weight loss. Amen. Do you see that? Hey, that's word. Hey, you have one that keeps coming back to you. You say, wait. I'm focusing on the obedience of Christ. I submit this. I don't even have to wrestle it down and handcuff it. I just present it to Jesus on the cross. He takes it. It's his obedience that defeated the enemy and sets me free. You see that? Man, the enemy is reminded of his defeat. And I want to tell you, he don't want to hang around that. You know what he's going to do? Hey, you got to be consistent. You got to submit to God and resist, but you present the obedience of Christ. Then I want to tell you something. He's going to go to someone else that don't know how to do that. Was that too much? Okay, I love you. Let me pray for you because I'm out of time. Oh, not next week. Thanksgiving testimony week next week. Lord Jesus, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the power of your spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you didn't make this complicated where only the highest brains could understand. That you made this by grace, your provision on the cross, and by faith, our saying yes to you. The Holy Spirit helps us apply this amazing weapon of our warfare to help set us free in the mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your cross, your obedience, we can win the mind games. And we can be set free to be what you want us to be and do what you want us to do. Lord Jesus, thank you for victory. Thank you that you have overcome the evil one and you have restricted his power to come against us. Thank you, Lord, that you won the victory. We stand in your victory today. I speak great hope. I speak recognition. I release revelation on your people, that the Holy Spirit will cause this to be simple and true. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give us hope to apply it. And you're the one that makes it work. We give you praise. And all people said, let's give God praise. Let's give the Lord a thank you. Let's honor the Lord.